Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Man, if you're new here, or relatively new here, let me just tell you, you're in a great place, because we're in a great place right now. Man, tremendous momentum, what God's doing in our lives, in our families, in this church, in our community. You know, I'll tell you what's really amazing to me is we're 23 plus years old. So about 24 years ago, I was sitting in that empty warehouse that Brian spoke of, and his thoughts weren't much different than mine. I just thought, oh my goodness, it's dark, it's dingy, at that time it was cold. You know, I don't know. But what can we do from here? I don't know what we could do in this building. And I'll tell you, my heart shifted almost immediately, and I knew God was directing my steps. You know, the Bible says many of the plans of a man's heart, but God directs his steps. And God began to direct my steps, and I'll tell you what rose up within me is we could change the world from here. So I want you guys to know that's still my heart right here. Man, I'll tell you, the dreams and the visions and the passions and the initiatives that are in your heart right now, I'm telling you, man, they can be fulfilled right here. This is a place where what we want to do is, man, we want to let the reins out. Man, let people run in this life and run hard and not be people that are held back because of religion or because, man, that's not exactly how we do it or that's not what we're about. We're just about reaching people. We're just about helping people win. We're about bringing people in to where they can just come as they are, but hopefully you know you're not gonna stay the way you are. Hopefully you know it's gonna be bigger and better. Let me tell you, I've got a plan that I'm gonna let you know about today that in the next 2 years, you're not gonna be able to recognize your life. Man, your life is gonna be so changed and so different and so better just in the next 2 years. It's gonna be phenomenal. I'll tell you, for almost 20 years now, I've personally been avoiding capital campaigns and building programs and building funds. Some of you guys maybe even have heard me say things, almost saying I will never do it. But how many of you guys know that, man, God moves in our life and he changes things. God's done a real work in my heart in the last 6 or 8 months. I'm a different man than I was 6 or 8 months ago. And I'll tell you, I can tell you that by what you're gonna hear about for the next 20 minutes. That what God's doing, it's something so profound and even different than how he's done it before in my life. But I'll tell you, man, it still rises up in me that, man, we're sitting in a warehouse right now, and man, what can we do here? We could change the world from here. Man, I'm not trying to sell you on this. I'm telling you, I'm sold. You know, God's taken me in this, and we're launching a capital campaign. And it's gonna be a 2-year campaign. And let me just tell you what it's done for me in my life. And I'm not regretful that I've never done it before, but I'm just telling you, I'm so profoundly appreciative of God that we're doing it now. And I'll tell you why. The thankfulness that's in my heart for people that are in this room, for people serving in this church, attending this church, giving in this church, man, I'll tell you, it's amazing how thankful. I don't know if I could, I'm ready to burst even right now. It's the zeal for God's house has consumed me because God's house is full of such incredible people. You know, the 16 years ago, this Easter, we started having services on this property. And it was so overwhelming because we have 200,000 square foot of building and over 30 acres and so much is going on. And you gotta think, we moved from that old warehouse on 41st down here. And it was a game changer. But I'll tell you, I still have that attitude that we can change the world from here. Man, I'm just so appreciative. We're gonna start this today. And it's a whole new phase of ministry in our church. We're gonna be about building the legacy. And I'll tell you what a legacy is for me. It's not, hey, I'm done, here's the baton, and flip the baton to somebody. I'm telling you, the way the legacy is for me is that people, my son and Brian and Jason and Jeremy and Roger and Katie and Bob and Dana and Chris and Molly and all the Houstons, that this is this lane that we're running in. See, ministry to me isn't like that I'm carrying this baton and everybody else is cheering it on. That's not it. I'm just telling you, I'm just picking a path and I'm picking a lane and I'm running in it. And I'm trying to get as many horses and as many people in that lane as I can. And I'll tell you, so at some point, if I start slowing down a little bit, and let me tell you, I've got 12 years of plans out in front of me right now. All right, so it's not anytime soon. But you know what? There's gonna be such a gaggle and such a gang of people that are running that lane that it's gonna change the world and continue to change the world. Man, what we're trying to do is get everybody on board in this. It's time for all hands on deck. So there's two parts in this message. The first part's for me. I have a go-to set of scriptures that in 1 Samuel, for when I have a extreme contest or when there's a foe in front of me or there's a hill to climb that it's like, oh my gosh, you have to show up. God, you have to be there. It's not going to happen. And that's what we're launching today. It's one of those times where it's like, God, I desperately need you. So if you'll read along with me in 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter, in the first 15 verses. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, Saul was the king. So here's Jonathan, the son of the king. They're living under bushes and trees and in holes and caves and hiding out because the Philistines were just abusing them at this time. But Jonathan turned and he said to the young man who bore his armor, and listen, it's a young man. It was probably an early teenager. I have an idea who this man is, but he's never mentioned in the word. But I've got a pretty good guess, and I think I'm right, that I'm not gonna tell you, okay? Now, it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison, which was 1 million men, okay, that's on the other side, but he didn't tell his dad. So what he did is he snuck off. So Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. 600 in the Israeli forces there and over 1 million Philistines. So the next verse, Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh was wearing an ephod, but the people didn't know that Jonathan had gone. Jonathan snuck out and he had his armor bearer. Understand here that these forces, these 600 men had two swords and that armor bearer had one of them. So here they were, he said, let's go take those Philistines. So now the next verse, between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And then it names them, one facing northward and the other southward. Any of you guys that have watched any kind of Westerns, and you see the good guys, the guys in the white hats, they pull up to this trail or this path between two cliffs, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is screaming ambush. Oh my gosh, what are they doing? So here, let me explain to you. In a military sense, this was strategic nonsense what Jonathan was gonna do. But let's keep reading. Verse 6, and this is where it changes. This is where it comes alive for me. And let me tell you what I hope that happens. I hope it affects your attitude. I want this message today to affect your attitude and change your attitude or give you a little bit of attitude because I believe that'll determine your altitude. And I know that sounds a little catchy. I'm not trying to be some trendy motivational speaker, but I'm just telling you that we get the kind of attitude that gives us a whole new altitude of life and altitude of how we live. Verse 6, then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It just may be that God will work for us. Let me tell you, I'm a faith guy. I'm a word of faith guy. I'm a strong faith guy. If God's promised it, then I'm gonna believe it and it's mine. But let me just tell you, it just may be that God will work for us is one of the strongest statements of faith. It reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When Nebuchadnezzar said, you either bow or we're gonna fry you. And you know what they said? Do what you gotta do. We're not gonna bow. Our God is able to deliver us from your hand. And then the attitude came in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went a step farther. And they said, even if God doesn't deliver us, we're still not bowing. See, that's Jonathan's attitude came up. I'm just wondering how your attitude is and my attitude is right now. Man, Jonathan said, hey, it just may be that God will work for us. You know how he qualified? It doesn't matter to God to save by many or by few. Man, you feel like that you're outnumbered. You feel like the odds are against you in life. I'm telling you, man, this message today is going to prove to you that that's about to change. Man, the odds, the scales are about to tip in your favor. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or few. Verse 7, so his armor said to him, do all that's in your heart. I love this. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart. Jesus, whatever's in your heart, I'll do it. That's been my heart's cry since I gave my life to Jesus. See, you guys don't get it. I was a sinner. I was a raging sinner. God saved my life. I owe him my life. If you'd have asked me when I was 20 or 22 years old, if I'd live to be 30, I'd say there's not a chance. None of my friends, none of the people around me would have bet a quarter that I'd live to be 30. But now look, 58 years old, and you know what? Never been stronger in my life. Never had stronger vision. Never had a stronger culture as a church. I'm telling you right now, it's time for us as a church to see what God's done in our hands. What's in our hands? What's in our house? What's in our field? This is remarkable for me. Man, what God is doing in our lives is so, it's spectacular. But you know what we've got to do? Man, we've got to wake up and see the glory of God that's working in our lives. Man, the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men and we'll show ourselves to them. Again, pretty poor military strategy here. Verse 9, if they say thus to us, now listen, this is how we interact. This is how we face the enemy. This is how we face the devil in our life. All he is a bully. The only thing that he has to come against us with is lies, is deception. Okay, you have to understand that. You might think you're in a pickle. You might think you're in a hole. You might think that there's very little way out. And I'm telling you, God's about to change that today. Anybody in on that today? Sky took you in on that today. God's gonna turn things around and change things in your life today. This is my go-to message for this. I'm telling you, this is branded in my heart. Very well, let's cross over these men and show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, listen, wait until we come to you, then we'll stand still in our place and not go up to them. Verse 10, but, and this is the key, if they say this to us, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. Two of the Israeli soldiers are gonna stand. They're gonna let a million Philistines that are up on the bluff and up on the cliff see them. They're gonna let them see them, and they're gonna stand there and say, listen, we're gonna do whatever they tell us to do. They tell us to wait here, we're probably in trouble. They're gonna rain fire on us. But if they ask us to come to them, he said, we'll go to them. But what did he say? He said, this will be a sign to us. You know what that sign is? Those Philistines were cowards. Those Philistines didn't want to give up that high ground, even for just two soldiers to fight two men. It's almost like those Philistines said, well, wait a minute, somebody's standing up. Oh dear God, there's two of them. See, you understand, that's how the enemy feels with us. Do you know the devil knows the word? Do you know that? Do you know the devil knows that Jesus promised if two of us agree on earth as touching anything, then it whips his butt. Do you understand that? He understands. See, that's why he tries to bring any kind of strife or any kind of contention. I'm just telling you, if Sandy would write a book and she'd say every time she and I came into agreement, man, Taylor's in a hospital bed and the doctor's looking at me saying, hey, there's nothing else we can do. You know what we did? We went out in the hallway and got in an elevator and the head nurse of the hospital said, we're so sorry. She's trying to console us. And you know what? Sandy looked at me and said, that will never come out of our mouth. We're gonna stand for our son. You know what I said? He'll live. Our son will live. He's gonna fulfill the call that's on his life. You know what? The very next day he woke up and was fine. See, you have to understand now. You get in these kind of positions, man, that agreement is powerful. And the enemy knows it. He's trying to deceive us. I'm just telling you, man, I'm pleading with you. Be a part of the marriage experience that we're gonna have here on the 12th and 13th of February. Man, be a part of what God's doing. It's not gonna be cheesy, I promise you. It's gonna be very professional. It's gonna be amazing. Man, I'll tell you, the way the country goes, we can blame whatever decisions any politicians or anybody else is making. But I'm just telling you, I firmly believe the country goes by the way the church goes. If the church is strong, our country will be strong. But let me tell you something. The church is only strong if marriages are strong. See, that's how important, that's how strategic this is, this hour that we're living in right now is. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes where they've hidden. I love that. Cowards! Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan, his armor bearer, and said, come up to us, we'll show you something. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, hey, come on after me. Come on, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. They weren't just fighting for each other. He was fighting for his heritage. He was fighting for his legacy. See, that's what legacy is. Man, we raise up kids. We raise up people. People come to the Lord in the next 2 years. And guess what? Man, they just get right in our lane and begin to defeat the enemy and turn back the tide of sickness and disease and debt and poverty and contentions and all the stuff that they've had to live with. Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan, listen, climbed up the bluff on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And every time he walked by a Philistine, they dropped. And that armor bearer's carrying Jonathan's sword, and they drop, and he just stick them. And Jonathan's walking, and these Philistine soldiers, warriors are dropping. And that armor bearer, that young man that is nameless at this point, is just sticking these guys. The Bible says the slaughter, in the next verse, the slaughter was 20 men. They had a million Philistines that they were facing and killed 20 of them in about a half an acre of land, probably less than the yard your house sits on. And then you know what happened? They all began to tremble. They all began to trample each other, fight each other to get out of there. Why? Because these two Israelis took a stand for the God that they served and proclaimed, God will deliver you into the hands of Israel. A quarter of the Philistines ran and surrendered and pleaded and begged to join the Israeli army. Man, the other ones trampled each other and killed each other and ran off to the point where they trembled so greatly that the earth quaked. See, that's where I want to go. I want to go to a place that if poverty or depression or anxiety or loneliness or strife in your home is in a bottomless, you're in a bottomless pit, I'm telling you, we're a church that can help you. We're going to the high ground. We're taking the land that God's called us to take. That was my go-to reference from the word when I'm looking for a conquest, that it's like, okay, God, you know me, I'll go. But you better show up. You better be who you say you are. Because you know why? I love it that Jonathan made the Philistines out as cowards. That he turned to his armor bearer and he said, let's go take those Philistines. It just may be that God will work for us. It doesn't matter to God to save by many or by few. You know what? He's turned to his armor bearer and said, look, there's two of us. I think that's enough. There's only a million of them. Man, it's so amazing how God is. Now we go to the reference that's for all of us and not just for me. It's in Joshua, the first chapter. And this is just simply God's commission to Joshua. This sets up, again, some attitude. And I believe that attitude is going to determine your altitude and how you live, the level of life that you have. In Joshua 1:1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving them, the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you as I said to Moses. Now let's go to Joshua 3 and verse 9. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Verse 10, Joshua said, By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and he will without fail drive out from you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord over all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. See, that's the ark is God's promise. It's God's word. It's God's presence. See, that's where we live now. The word goes before us. I'm just telling you, we trust God's promise. We trust God's word. Man, we trust what God has given us. You know what? That means that that word goes before us. Verse 14 of Joshua 3. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, the priests who were carrying that ark got right to the edge of the Jordan, which was overflowing at this time. The worst time of year to cross the Jordan, it was exceeding its banks every year because that's what hydrated the harvest. That the waters which came down from the upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Let me just tell you, that thing that's between you and God's promise, God's gonna cut off how it's fed. God's gonna stop it. And listen, the children of Israel then, the priest took the Ark of the Covenant to the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground. And then everybody came across. And let me just tell you the key to this. The key here, you keep reading in chapter 3, that they as a people completely crossed the Jordan. No one's left behind. I'll tell you, normally, here's where I am with this whole capital campaign. It's gonna be life-changing for everybody in this church. It's gonna be life-changing for me. It's gonna be life-changing for my family. It's gonna be life-changing for single mamas. It's gonna be life-changing for teenagers. It's gonna be life-changing for businessmen and business owners and doctors and lawyers and welders and electricians. Life-changing for bikers. Life-changing for whomever. And I'll tell you why. Because we, as a part of this campaign, are gonna cross that Jordan, that thing that's kept us from the promised land. And then you know what? God's promise is that we'll take all those tribes, all those giants that are inhabiting that land. Remember that those spies came back and they said, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And then you know what? Here Joshua and Caleb were, they came back with a report. They're like, hey, I don't care what those other guys say. Yeah, those giants are big, but they're not too big for us to beat. They're too big for us to miss. And the things that have kept you down, the things that have inhibited you, let me make a direct announcement to the devil, to all the Philistines the Philistines that have tried to stand between you and God's promise. We're Guts Church. We're not just some run-of-the-mill church. We're Guts Church. It means something. It's what it takes for us to live for God. And I'm telling you, we as a church are crossing over. I'm not selling you here. This isn't a pitch. I'm sold. I'm telling you right now, no matter how weak and uncomely, no matter how gifted you are, it's time for us to take that place in the world and be the world changers that God's called us to be. Be the men and women that God has fashioned us and molded us to be. You guys think about all the crap you've been through in your life. You think about all the struggles that you've had, and God's brought you to this place right here. And you know what? There's a middle-aged guy standing in front of you saying, let's go take that promised land God's called us to take. Let's turn this campaign into exposure of the enemy as a coward, as a liar, as a deceiver. God's moving in our lives. And I'll tell you what I have here in the church is there's a sense of awe because of the dominion, the power of God. But let me tell you, that sense of awe requires a response. And that response is just obedience. Listen, there's a sense of awe here, and it just requires simple faith. Some of you guys, How many of you guys, it's been hard for you to trust God in the past? Let me see your hands. It's been hard for me to trust God. Just raise your hand. Put your hand up. Those days are over. It's not gonna be hard for us to trust God anymore. We're throwing all in. We are crossing completely. You may be in the back of a riser. You may be thinking, man, I'm just a guest here. You came and you were a guest. You were a visitor and a good time. Because I'm telling you what we're gonna do now. Man, we're gonna go into takeover mode of the promises that God's delivering us on a silver platter when Jesus walked out of that tomb. When the world and even all of his followers thought it was over, God said, just wait, just hang on. And then you know what happened? That sealed tomb opened. It was impossible. It was impossible for a carpenter's son to move that stone. And he walked out of it. They saw him die. We're embarking on a 2-year capital campaign where we're gonna raise $3 million. I've got friends in churches like this that laugh at me. They smirk. They say, Shear, that's nothing. No, it's something. I tell you what we're gonna do with it. It's gonna impact every person in this room, your families, your friends, the people who just drive by right now. It's gonna become, this place is gonna be so attractional for families, for fatherless kids. From now until the 25th anniversary of the church, December of 2017. That's how long this campaign's gonna be. And I'm telling you, I've stiff-armed this for over 20 years. So this is a big day for me. No more stiff-arming. Many of the plans of a man's heart, but God directs his steps. There's three asks for you today. The first ask is for you to get in faith, for you to really trust God. Maybe you've never done it before. Maybe it's been hard for you to do. No, today you're gonna get in a place of faith where you say, God, I'm believing you. I'm standing in agreement with Pastor Bill for $3 million in this capital campaign. Agree with the leadership of our church. I'm telling you, everybody's on board. Number one's get in faith. Number two, participate. And how you're gonna participate is you're gonna believe God on your own behalf and bring your best gift in over a 3-Sunday period. And it's March 13th, 20th, and 27th. March 13th is our launch date for our Sepulpa Church. March 20th is what we refer to as Barefoot Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, where we all leave here barefoot and we leave our shoes at the distribution center. And you know what now? We're getting toward the end of the year. We've got about a month and a half left for this year. And you could tell about 90% of the shoes have been given away this year. And that's 15, 16, or 17,000 pairs of shoes that have been distributed since last Easter. And then the 27th is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Those three Sundays, we're just bringing our best gift in. We're just gonna trust God. We're not gonna have $1,000 offerings the next 2 years. We're not gonna have lead pack offerings for the motorcycle rally or for our best gift on Easter or for the nightmare. We're gonna believe God that that money comes in. We're gonna believe God that the overflow that comes back on all the faithful, cheerful givers in this church is gonna super exceed anything we need to do those outreaches. The third ask is that you pray, that you hear God's voice. It doesn't matter to me if it's the first time you've heard God's voice. You hear from God and you pledge to give over a 2-year period that amount. I'll tell you, I know that for decades I never thought this day would come, that those words would come out of my mouth. But I'm telling you, I'm so glad they do. I'm so excited. We're gonna cross over completely. Just like Joshua led the children of Israel to their promised land, I believe that's a type and shadow of what God's doing in our midst right here. Naturally, I hate this. I'm not kidding you. The early years in the church, there were times I didn't take an offering and told people that I just forgot because I didn't want to. I saw people that had barely enough to live, that were putting money in a change or a couple dollars in a bucket. It's like, oh God, there's gotta be a different way. And you know what? It's God's way. It's how God does it. Man, the widow woman with the two mites, man, she dropped them in that offering plate and, And Jesus was standing there and couldn't, those mites were so light, you couldn't even hear them hit the plate. At the end, he said, that's the greatest gift right there. That gift right there, that'll change the world. And see, so I want every single mama, I want every widow, I want every businessman, everybody, man, just to hear from God and just be obedient. Simple trust, simple faith. That's what God's done. I want to be all in. That's the only way. And Sandy's had to hear this for so long, and so many other people in here. I love it when we face something that we're all in. One go, we all go. One fight, we all fight. And I got a text message from Greg Mason. He and his wife Kelly have a little boy that had to go to the hospital. They found pneumonia in one of his lungs. Man, I made a couple of texts. I said, well, you know what? I've got a little bit of a cough. I'm probably not going to go. But let me tell you, just as I'm resisting this, you resist that. Man, we're gonna give the devil something hard to hit. And you know what? He texted me back and said, I'm overwhelmed at the response from our church. The amount of people that have come up, the amount of text messages that I've gotten, and the hordes of people that are standing in faith. See, that's the key to this for me. Is you just hear from God. Man, you get in faith, you participate in the offering, the best gift offering, and you hear from God just about a 2-year pledge. And then you know what? You watch what God does, how God faithfully delivers because you're standing in faith, and how it changes your life and so many other lives. Let me release Sky Took Now. Let me close this service just simply by, if you're here and you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, or you're here and you need to get your life right with God. Maybe you're here and, man, you've got an addiction that's keeping a chokehold on you. You're here and maybe you're separated from your spouse. You're here and you're so weighted down with worry about your children. Maybe it's a diagnosis you've had in your body. Maybe it's an overwhelming depression or anxiety or fear that you've had mentally, emotionally. Whatever it is, let me tell you, as we close this service, we're going to have people that are going to be on each side of the stage to minister to you and help you, elders and spiritual leaders that are trained and equipped and gifted to pray for you. Man, break yokes of bondage, remove burdens. There's no reason that everyone in this room doesn't leave here where there's none feeble, where everybody leaves here strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'll just tell you, I hope you don't feel like I'm pitching you something. I'm not. I'm not selling anything. I'm sold. This is going to change my life. This is going to change, listen, the trajectory of this church. I'm going to close with this one statement. Not only can we're going to change the world from here.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.